And welcome to This Green Earth. I'm Claire Wiley.
And I'm Chris Cherniak.
And today we are welcoming physical ed teacher at McPolin Elementary and also local birder, Nate Brown. Nate, thanks so much for being a part of This Green Earth.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Nate, this is not your first time talking about the Christmas bird count, which is coming up here in Utah, but all over the nation. And this has been going on, from what I understand, since the 19th century. Can you give us a little bit of history on the Christmas bird count, and then we'll get into what is happening this year?
Yeah, in the 19th century, North Americans participated in what they called Christmas side hunts, where they would actually see how many birds they could kill. And then a gentleman, an ornithologist, Frank Chapman, in 1900 said, instead of killing birds, let's go count them on Christmas. And so it became kind of a scientific census project to see where birds were being seen, and it expanded to other cities and areas and countries. Now it's all over the world, and in the 126th year.
126 years. That's amazing. And describe for people, if they don't know, what is an ornithologist?
Someone that studies birds. Yeah.
That's simple.
That's it. Okay. And Frank Chapman, he was the originally started a publication that became Audubon magazine.
So. Right. So ornithology is the study of birds, and Frank Chapman was one of the pioneers behind all of this. And in that day, it was probably a very different scene for birding. Today, can you describe what it's like to be a local birder? What is happening in this community around birding? Is it a popular thing? How many people are involved? Tell us about what's happening here in our community.
In terms of involvement, it's fairly small for, say, Park City or Summit County, but statewide it's pretty popular. Utah happens to be one of the top states in terms of how many different species you can see, because of, you've got the mountains, you can go down to the desert, you've got the Great Salt Lake. It's almost like a corridor for migrating birds in the spring and summer as well, which they'll stop on water, find trees, and rest in between their flight patterns. So Utah's pretty good. Here, we're very seasonal. Winter is not necessarily the best time to go looking for birds. But then in the spring and in fall and summer, there's migrating birds that come here and nest and mate and do all that fun stuff. And so you can see quite a bit. And the mountains open up, so you can get up into the Uintas.
How long have you been a part of this?
This is, I think it was like 15th, the Christmas bird count, for example. Yeah, I think they've done them for 16 years, so I didn't get to the first one.
What drew you to birding? What is it about birding?
Boy, that's a good question. My family's always been wildlife and nature, and so I kind of grew up with that and just animals, and it just turned to birds. And for me, it's just a nice, easy way to get out, and you can get on trails and hike and get outside and just kind of put your mind away and find and hear and see these little things. So yeah, there's been a good community here in Utah, and so it's been like friends, you know, over the years and stuff. So, and you could do it wherever you go. Like, you travel all over the world and you can find birds.
So Nate, how does the bird count work? Is it an individual activity or group activity?
It's a group activity, and you want to try to get at least 10 people, which we usually get here. We always seem to have the coldest day of the year and snow, and it's not super enjoyable being out of the car. The way they've kind of designed it with the Audubon Society is you have a 15-mile diameter around a central point. So we get together, we meet in the morning. This year, as we've done for a while, Swanner Nature Preserve is hosting. So anyone out there, December 14th, 8 a.m., we're meeting at Swanner, and what we'll do is we kind of divvy up areas of the region, the diameter, and send out small groups. And if people are new to birding, we'll try to send them with someone that's got a little more knowledge, so we can build community up a little bit. And we just go see and look and hear for what we can find. And we report back as many birds as you've seen, species, the locations, you track your mileage. It's gotten a little interesting over the years now because of how, like, the internet has taken over. Cornell University has a big ornithology program, and they've done all the research and data collecting, and you can track and put in checklists of what you've seen. So the old idea of this being a Christmas Day item and a census where people, that's how the data was being shared, now it's much more simplified with the internet And I would say they've also added a National Bird Day in the spring, so we're not doing it in the winter time because this is the like lowest count month, let's say, that you'd find for this area. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just not always ideal when it's, you know, 5 degrees out.
Well, right. But with the weather changes, are these patterns in birding changing? And do you see over the last 15 years any real changes in some of the species or who's hanging around or who's not? Or is it still?
One thing we hope for in for our bird count is that the water is not frozen over like on the reservoirs, Rockport or Jordanelle, which allows for a lot more species, ducks and geese and gulls. Last year, that was kind of like this year, a little bit warmer, and the water was open, and we found a ton of stuff, which added to our numbers. And so I would say in my almost 20 years in Park City, the winters have been pushed a little farther each year. So I would say, you know, the climate definitely has changed, but some years we have colder and more snow. So definitely can affect our bird count.
So Nate, you mentioned that it's not just what you see, but it's also what you hear as a means of inventorying what you observe, quote unquote, during that day.
Yes, that goes for any birding, bird tracking, bird watchers that are into checklists or number counting. Seeing and hearing, audible, is also counted. And I mean, if you factor in, most owls are like nocturnal, so you don't see them, you hear them. There's a lot of other species. Nighttimes is when you hear that species, so you'll never see a lot of these animals, and that's all over the world. So yeah, definitely usually get like a great horned owl will be in a lot of people's neighborhoods, and occasionally we'll get a northern pygmy owl is actually a day bird, a day owl, so you can see those on the trails. They're tiny little guys, but yeah, good question.
Does technology aid in identifying some birds too nowadays, like the Merlin app, which will, you know, actually tell you with some pretty good accuracy what you're hearing? Is that allowed?
Certainly, yeah. I mean, that technology, the Merlin app you're speaking of, that's designed by the Cornell University program, their staff, and it's really advanced to be pretty accurate over the last couple of years. It was funny what people were saying they saw or heard in their backyard based on, you know, some bird in like Africa or something. It's, you know, like, no, it's not in your backyard. But yeah, like, it's actually kind of fun to turn that on for people that don't have an ear. And it just, you go, oh, okay, that's actually what you're hearing. And yeah. It's been pretty accurate. Like when I travel, I'll use it because you're just not familiar with a lot of the species that maybe you're headed to their region. It's great. It's very fair to identify. On the other hand, you can use apps and your phone for bird calls, which is fairly common to utilize if needed. It's not, I'd say it's not recommended for rare species or during mating times of year. That would be the downfall of people can tend to overuse it a lot. Or a bird that's not in its normal territory could be a little frightened and scared when they're hearing their own species and they know they're not there.
Yeah, so it can be used for good, and also it might just not be.
There's a birding world, there's always been a back and forth of like, do you play calls or not play calls? And is it fair and not fair to that you, that's how you saw or heard a bird? It was because you, some people would say it's cheating, but a lot of people actually are good at bird calls themselves. So they say, what if I can call the bird in? What's the problem with that? It's not harming it at all. So.
Mm-hmm. There is a little bit of competition to some of these, isn't there?
Yeah. Yes. There's The Big Year. It was a movie. It was really, really good. The book's even better, but based off a book. And it was in the 90s, so there was not this technology. And you can just get email updates hourly of what's in your county opposed to the world. So, yeah, there's a hotline that you used to call, and they had different number system for how rare a bird was and where it was. And, yeah, people would fly all over the world. You know, it turned into whoever had the most money and had the most days. Someone that works a regular job can't get out of the office to go see something that's down at the local, you know, reservoir or lake or whatever. But yeah, it's been over the years, like photography, like you actually saw the bird or recorded their sound. So yeah, it's gotten a little competitive, and records have been easily broken because of the access. So yeah.
Yeah.
I recently saw the documentary Listers, which I don't know if you've heard of that.
That's really good.
Tell us about
it. It is. I wondered what the bird community would think of it, because it kind of pokes a little bit of fun at the bird lister community.
Yes. Yes.
And how obsessive that becomes. And it becomes more about checking birds off of a list rather than actually enjoying the observation of it, if I have that right.
I thought that was a pretty awesome little documentary. And yeah, pretty accurate there, Chris, on what, you know, describing, are you just trying to make a list or get your county total or your state total or your year total? Like, oh, let's go see the bird and then we're gone. Or,
right.
Oh, I want to hear the bird. I want to see it. For those out there, I would recommend watching it. And it's pretty funny too. I think they make
it is very funny.
Make it
very
interesting.
Well done.
Yeah. Like it's if you're not a birder, you'll still enjoy it. So
being a birder and traveling around, you say when you're traveling, you bring along this Merlin app. How do you think that this has enriched your life becoming involved in the birding community?
One thing was years ago, I had a pretty good injury and surgery, and I was kind of like on crutches for a while and was like, I want to go to one of these Christmas bird counts. Or there was another thing the State Audubon Society was doing, and I met people my age, and next thing you know, we're friends and we're traveling all over the country to visit people or see birds. And so I don't know, for me it's just a real easy, relaxing, you know, you can get really disappointed if there's something in Utah and you go look for it and you can't find it, but it's like at the end of the day it's like whatever, you know.
Yeah, it feels like it would give you an appreciation for what is happening in the bird world and a greater understanding of how they exist in an ecosystem. I remember going into Swanner one morning. No one was there and it was so quiet and all these birds were out, and it was just a very calming and just a very magical experience having that surround me. So I almost wonder if in birding you're feeling that, or is it just, hey, I want to see this bird?
I mean, I think, like, for me and the people that I know that bird, it's just about getting together, just being outside, really. Just really nice in the spring when we've had a long winter and you're like, oh, gosh, the birds are back. You can hear them, you know. On the other side, I'll go play golf and I'm, like, ready to hit the ball and I hear something chirping in the tree. I'm like, what is that? Where is it? What's going on? I doubt most other golfers or people deal with that. So that's what goes on in my head, other than trying to hit a ball really well, which is also a challenge. Hopefully it's not about just checklists and whatnot, but it is fun to see what you can see and how many this and how many that and where you see stuff. And did you get a photograph is a fun aspect of it too. So
we got just another minute or so. And so give us the summary again. It's December 14th. Where and what time?
December 14th. We're going to check in at Swanner Nature Preserve hosts and coffee and some breakfast. Yeah, then we'll just say hi and get people out in their cars and get out in the region and go birding for a couple hours. The bird count actually allows you a 7-day period that you can count. So people end up emailing me or texting Swanner or vice versa, whatever, and seeing that, you know, we have like a checklist of like, we should be able to find this or that. And we usually get around 50 or 60 birds, but if you can make it, sign up. Swanner has a on their website and on their events, you can sign up and just RSVP that you're going to be there. And if you can't, you can email them. And if you want to help, we can get in touch with you that way too.
So it's the kickoff is on December 14th, but you have a whole week.
The
first,
actual CBC, United States, North America, gives you like a month to get it in December, January. And we just choose that day this year. So works for us. Yeah. There's like, because there's probably 15 others going on around the state. So you try to find your own day. So you maybe can go, people can go to multiple ones if they choose to.
Oh,
yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
So it's going on the whole month of December?
December and into, I think 13th is the first day, and it goes to like January 13th.
In the state of Utah, where do we rank really in how many different bird species you can see?
I'm going to go top 10.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Just because of the different geography that you can get down in the desert, and then with the Great Salt Lake and Antelope Islands and all the waterways, it is a migration corridor here with the mountain range, like a guiding map, let's say. And then in the summer, the higher mountain regions are open too.
One last question that I have is, what is the most uncommon bird that is found in Utah that is seen in the Christmas bird count?
2 years ago, we had a jeer falcon, like completely random. We were out at Rockport, and this crazy, it's a big old falcon. And yeah, we got a glimpse of it. Someone got a quick photo. They're super rare to Utah. They're mostly like a northern Arctic bird. And that was about as good as it gets.
Nice. Mm.
And the most common?
Could be Canada magpie. Goose.
Don't say magpie.
I have the, let's see, last
can I get on the bird
rock
count?
Pigeon.
I saw one just 5 minutes ago.
Yeah. Yeah, we get plenty of those. The gulls are out. We get a lot of jays. You can get pinion jays and scrub jays and
stellar jays.
Yeah, and woodpeckers are always good. Owls.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, 50 different bird species. I think that's pretty cool. Go Utah for being in the top 10 for that. We are speaking with Nate Brown, who is a local birder, and he's been telling us about the Christmas bird count, which has been happening since the 19th century. It is the 126th year this year, and you too can get involved in that on December 14th. You can go to Swanner Eco Center's website and sign up for it. And yeah, anything that you're particularly looking forward to seeing this year, Nate?
Hopefully something different or new that we haven't had over the years. We've kind of taken a tally, and every year we usually get something rare or different that shows up on our list. So we don't know what that'll be this year.
Excellent. All right. Well, thanks for joining us on This Green Earth.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to This Green Earth.
If you have an idea, we'd love to hear from you. Give us your ideas and topics, your storylines. It's thisgreenearth@kpcw.org.
You can also find us wherever you listen to your podcast. If you like the show and you learned something new, make sure you leave a review. And we'd appreciate it if you click 5 stars.